This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, turning up Tuesday, cranking it at 12. You want it loud? Send a request, pause for text line, 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Hear from him later in the hour when we get to his fun house. But let's talk about last night's Ravens 10-point win over Tampa on the road. Ravens won five in a row. USA Today, the Ravens Wire, joins us every Tuesday. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. What is happening?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it was fun game down in Tampa for the Ravens last night. I mean, again, it was a little closer the final score was than the game actually was because of all the garbage time points in Tampa. But, hey, Lamar Jackson firmly establishing himself again. And those MV3 chants, you could hear him in Tampa. And I think if things go the way that it's going right now, he's well on his way.
And I hear what you're saying there. But let's talk about this rush offense. 244 last night, led by Derrick Henry again, outrushing the opposition by over 100 yards again. Is there a possibility, Kevin Allstriker, that this Russian offense will finish better than the 2019 offense, which was the greatest rushing team in football history?
At this rate, I mean, I think the answer is yes. And the crazy part about it is Derrick Henry only had, what, four attempts at halftime? I mean, this was a game plan that didn't necessarily feature him a ton in the first half. And then he comes in kind of in that closer role, call him like the Felix Bautista of the Ravens, if you will. And he goes in there and rips off that 81-yard run, and he was as mad as anyone. He didn't finish that off for a touchdown. But it's so crazy because I know that here in Baltimore, everybody's kind of like numb to Lamar Jackson of like, oh, he makes this crazy play and he's doing this. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's just Lamar because, you know, everybody here in Baltimore sees it so often. Well, for Derrick Henry, we're 7 weeks in, you know, he rips off an 81-yard run, and I'm just kind of like, well, all right, that's kind of Derrick Henry. It's amazing how he and Lamar Jackson work off of one another. It's amazing how, you know, behind this offensive line, particularly guys like Ronnie Stanley, who have played incredible this season, he's doing his thing. So in terms of 2019, yeah, I mean, we were sitting there in 2019 saying, well, when's the next time these records are going to be broken? When's the next time a team's going to be as good to break those records? And here we are, only five years later, and we're talking about, yeah, well, those records might be not so long for the record books anymore. Might be a new Ravens rushing team in town come the end of the season.
Hey, Kevin, why the struggles covering running backs out of the backfield?
It's been a problem for them for a while, but this particular year, it's, you know, it can be assignment football. It can just be guys missing opportunities. But, I mean, you had multiple plays. I mean, if you want to point to the fourth quarter last night, too, that last touchdown, Rashad White walked into the end zone from 5 yards out. I mean, mm-hmm. At this point, it's getting a little crazy because you can't have that. And my whole thing with covering running backs, covering tight ends even, you know, you have to have the personnel to do it, and they do. Like, they have the guys. Roquan Smith is a very good cover linebacker, but he has not played like that for the most part this season. I thought Roquan played better in this game, but he still had moments of, man, that's not great. I mean, they need players that can go out there and do that, and I think they have them on the roster. But it just has been probably what I'd chalk it up to is just assignment football and guys going with other guys. I know Marlon Humphrey talked about last week how he had a running back out of the backfield, and he kind of went with Jaden Daniels instead. So it's crazy because a lot of those garbage time yards and points came from Rashad White and Kate Otten, running backs and tight ends, which have been a big concern point for the Ravens. I mean, not only this year, but it's been a problem for a while now.
How does the offense get better?
I don't know. I mean, I think it can. I just don't know because they're so good. I guess what I would love to see them do more is like on that deep shot touchdown to Rashad Bateman. I'd love to see them do that and push the ball down the field more, but the play-action game is working. They're working in Derrick Henry, Justice Hill in that run game. You know, Lamar and his legs effectively too. I would just probably say I'd like to see them get a little bit, I don't know if better is the word, but I'd probably say I'd love to see more of those deep shot plays because we haven't necessarily seen a ton of that this season, but I think that that can unlock this offense even further. Because I think for Baltimore right now, we know that they're dominant on the ground and teams have to account for that. We know that the play-action game is good. We know that defenses have to account for that too. We know that when they sell out to stop the run, one-on-one, guys like Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, all those players, you know they have to account for that. But if they can get that deep shot passing game working and the Ravens can take a couple of deep shots and teams have to kind of rotate help over there and be worried about that instead of creeping guys up into the box, I think that that is probably the next step for this offense. But they're already playing at such a high level where I'm just kind of like, man, can they get better? I know the answer is yes, but it feels like they're doing everything right now.
You know what? I see offensively, you know, we talk about Derrick Henry as the closer. Defensively, we don't have a closer. That's the problem. I mean, they scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I mean, you would like to see, Kevin, when, you know, Lamar throws the lateral, they recover, they get it on the 30-yard line. You know, three and out, make them kick a field goal, do something. Don't just, you know, let them go down and get a touchdown, you know, and then they get two more after that.
Yeah, and Ed Reed kind of said that on the Manning cast as well last night. You said that this Ravens team right now, that they don't know about finishing and, you know, being a championship team in that regard right now. And so in garbage time, I get that, you know, you feel like you have the game in hand and, you know, it's 41-10. You're like, okay, are we really, you know, they're sitting there on defense out on the field saying, okay, really, is this game really going to get out of hand in terms of the opposing team coming back? But then you have an offensive fumble, you have a recovered onside kick. And so garbage time, you know, it's garbage time for a reason. And, you know, you play different defense and prevent. You're just trying to stop everything. But that's not an excuse for the defense itself in that moment to be garbage. So you have to be able to play a full 60 minutes. We talked about it over the first couple of weeks about the offense keeping their foot on the gas. We saw John Harbaugh go for it up 17 in the third quarter and fourth and goal. You know, from a 17 to a 20-point lead on a field goal, you go 17 to 24. And they actually kind of needed that at the end of the game based off how it went. But yeah, it's the same thing for the defense. Is, you know, foot on the gas, finish the game. And because of that, you know, you had your starters out there. You know, you saw it when it was 41-10. You're like, okay, man, the starters will come out, you know, early in the fourth quarter. They'll get some rest. They had to play pretty much the entire rest of the game because they just kept giving up points, kept giving up chunk yards. And so, you know, my thing for that is, you know, offense keeps the foot on the gas. You know, I'd love to see the defense do the same.
So I thought the defensive line had its worst game last night. I didn't think they got off blocks very well. Fundamentally, they weren't as good in the pass rush. I wasn't crazy about the pass rush. They didn't, you know, especially in the first half, they got no pressure.
No, they had three sacks in the game, but a lot of that came in, you know, you mentioned the second half / garbage time, and that's when you can just kind of pin your ears back as a defense and rush the passer without the worry of them running the ball. And Tampa was trying to establish the run game early. And this was the worst run defense game, you mentioned it, from this Ravens team. You know, we've talked about guys like Travis Jones and Namdi Madubuike and everybody on that front. But, man, you're right. They weren't getting off blocks. They allowed Tampa's offensive linemen to get to the second level. And we saw a bunch of chunk plays in this game. So I don't know what their plan is at pass rush. I know that John Harbaugh has been very vocal about the fact that the secondary and the pass rush is a married group, two groups that are married, and you have to be able to pass rush effectively. Yeah, it felt like it. Both of them didn't play well, so you kind of like everybody's not getting married. Everybody's single, so you have to be able to get those two back together. And so do they go out there? I know I don't necessarily think Max Crosby is super realistic. You know, there are other options out there, but do they go? They signed Ngakoue. Is that going to be their only addition? Do they feel like they need somebody else? But in this game in particular, yeah, I wasn't super impressed with what they had going in the pass rushing department. I know the stat sheet will say three sacks, but a lot of that did come in garbage time.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens wire. Ravens win 41-31 over Tampa. They're now 5-2, winners of five in a row, off to Cleveland, taking on the Browns. They're beleaguered. They're banged up. They're 11-point underdogs at home. But, Kevin, last thing for you, and I'm not saying that Tucker or Andrews went anywhere, but are they back, if you know what I'm saying?
I think they are. And look, we can admit that both those guys struggled to start the season, right? We're not going to shy away from that, but those guys have talent. For Mark Andrews in particular, this is not the Ravens offense, the Lamar Jackson of we're just going to chuck this thing up and see where Mark Andrews is. Lamar spreads the ball around now. So I know he might not have his everyday 8-catch-for-110-yard, 1-touchdown performance, but in the role that he's playing this year, it looks a little different than what we're used to, but I think it's a role that he is still very effective in and very talented with. And for Tucker, yeah, I mean, just absolute nails. He's a guy that I wouldn't want to bet against. Didn't want to bet against him then, and I sure don't want to bet against him now.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire. Joins us every Tuesday here on The Fan. Kevin, appreciate the time. Enjoy your short week.
You too, guys. Appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Kevin Ostreicher, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back. Whip around what happened in the sports last night. Sports world, we'll let you know, historically as well. And the NBA tips off tonight. We'll talk about those two matchups. Ryan Ripken going to preview the Fall Classic with him. It's the Yankees. It's the Dodgers. Fox wanted it. They got it. We're talking about it around 11:30.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. We were doing some thinking during the commercial break. Actually, this subject was brought up yesterday at the Green Turtle in Canton. Me and Tim Barbalace, Lanlin, or Bone if you prefer. Talking about that Steelers-Ravens game on November 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Right now scheduled to be a 1 o'clock extravaganza. Now the Steelers have Russell Wilson, and for half at least, it looked like they're ready to rock and roll offensively. Ravens are crushing people offensively. The Sunday night game that night, Nolan, is the Colts and Jets. And the Jets suck. And the Colts aren't exactly the most exciting team in football either.
4-3.
So I'm guessing. And what's the turnaround time? Couple weeks?
Yeah, like a... I got to look it
We've
up.
We've talked but about
it's
this.
It's like a 20-day window or a 14-day window.
So they're probably already planning an exit strategy for that game. The other matchups, just to throw it out there for you. Chiefs at Bills, 425.
CBS not letting that happen.
Especially if Kansas City's undefeated. Seahawks, 49ers, that's no. lost there.
Yep.
Let's see here. Packers, Bears, perhaps.
Yes.
Depending on how Chicago trends, they've got Washington this week. No Jaden Daniels, it looks like, for Washington.
If Chicago wins that one, that becomes more likely.
And that's a rivalry game.
Yep.
But Green Bay would have like four straight primetime games. Viewer fatigue, as they say, might set in. I think Ravens and Steelers got flex potential here.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you got Lamar. And like I was telling you off air, Bob, Pittsburgh's got the Giants on Monday night. Then they got a bye. And then they go to Washington. So they only have two games. So figure that they split at worst, okay? They lose to Washington, beat the Giants. Then they're, what, 6-3? Say the Ravens are still 7-2. You got the MVP, two MVP guys.
Rivalry game.
Oh, that one's happening, Bob.
First place.
Where's that one? Is it that one at Pittsburgh or home?
That is at Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Sunday night. It's got it written all over it, Norm.
Right, Steelers have had a lot of primetime games recently. They're on Monday night next week. So yeah. they're already racking up a bunch of theirs. The rules here, there's so many different, you know, chances to flex and everything depending on the week. According to the NFL's website, for Sunday Night Football, you may flex up to twice between weeks 5 and 10 at the NFL's discretion, weeks 11 through 17.
Hmm.
So they don't want a ton of it early in the year, but once you hit week 11, all bets are off.
Have we had one yet?
Flex? I don't believe so.
Didn't they want to flex the Ravens?
And Redskins. Or Commanders, excuse me.
Yeah, and CBS said they not so fast.
So we shall see. Just keep that under your hat. So if you're planning on traveling to Pittsburgh or throwing a party at your house for the game, time might change.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Jameson Williams, Lions. Two-game suspension, possibly for violating the NFL performance enhancement substance policies. The guy got suspended for gambling on the complex there, whatever it was. Even though gambling's legal, hey, don't forget to take Jameson Williams in your parlay. He just can't bet on it, at least on facility, which is hypocrisy at its finest, if you ask me, but it is what it is. But looked like he was having a breakout year, relatively quiet last week against Minnesota. But a two-game suspension for the high-flying Lions.
Yeah, and Bob, there's so many things that you're not allowed to take that, you know, it's crazy. But he can't do that. I mean, you're responsible for the stuff that's in your body. And you can say, well, I didn't mean to. It doesn't matter. It's in your body. And the best thing I would – don't do the over-the-counter, you know – check with your strength coach. Check with your trainers beforehand. Because it's stupid. It's totally stupid. And you're not juicing in the middle of the season. There's no reason to juice.
And he's playing well.
Yeah.
For the most part. 5881057 The Fan. Whip around. Turn it up Tuesday. College football. Maryland at Minnesota. Coming up Saturday, 3:30. Minnesota, 4.5-point favorites. Gophers coming off a bye.
Yeah.
2-2. In the Big Ten. Maryland coming off that epic come-from-behind win against USC. They're 4-3, 1-3. FS1 is your TV network, and you can hear it, obviously, on 105.7 The Fan, as we are the flagship home of the Maryland Terrapins. NBA starts tonight. You think ESPN shoves down with eight things, the top narrative in sports. Get ready for Bronny and LeBron.
All we've been talking about is Knicks and Lakers.
Second round draft pick. Guy in the, if he wasn't Bronny James, would be in the G League to start the season. Instead, the Griffies are there. Ken and Ken Sr. Difference is Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And you can make a case of the last 50 years, maybe the best.
Yeah.
Goes back to that lack of rings. He never even played in a World Series. But as brilliant as he was, and he was brilliant.
Yes.
No postseason success. And Ken Griffey Sr. was an all-star. Multiple time and multiple time world champion. And a major contributor to those championship teams. He played on one of the greatest teams in the history of baseball, the Big Red Machine. LeBron James is obviously one of the greatest basketball players ever. All-time leading scorer. Bronny James has got average, 4 points a game, 5 points a game in USC?
Oh, yeah.
This is straight-up nepotism here. Have fun with that, J.J. Redick.
Bob, if he gets in, it's they're blowing somebody out or getting blown out, and Lamar will get – or Lamar.
That's LeBron, how great Lamar is. He'll play, too.
LeBron will get a minute or two with him, you know, kind of – and then that's it.
Yeah, a Lakers, by the way, taking on Minnesota, the Timberwolves, 10 o'clock tip. First game is Knicks at the Celtics, defending NBA champs. That's 7:30. And to me, at least for the opening night, the biggest story is it's the last season for TNT's inside the NBA.
Yeah, that's
unless
sad.
Something miraculous happens that puts them somewhere else, as TNT
best
lost their
pregame show in a long, long time.
It's the greatest pregame show ever, with all due respect, in my opinion, to Brent, Irv, Phyllis, and the Greek, the original. NFL Today. Caps tonight at Philly, 6 o'clock puck drop. Caps won 3 in a row.
No, Caps, you know who's hot, Bob, is Tom Wilson. Willie's been, he had 2 goals last game, a goal the game before. So, yeah, and Ovi's playing good. So, yeah, they're looking good right now.
This day in sports history, it's October 22nd. A couple of World Series came to an end, 1972 at Cincinnati. The A's edged the Reds 3-2, game 7. They win the series in 7 games. Gene Tennis was the MVP. First player, only player to homer in his first 2 at-bats in World Series history. They were big, the A's, big underdogs, because Reggie Jackson got hurt in the ALCS against the Tigers. So Oakland wins the first of what would be three straight world championships. Only team outside of the Yankees to ever win three straight world titles. And sadly, the Oakland A's now don't exist anymore.
Sacramento.
Yeah. Vegas. I bleep out of here. By the way, our buddy Ross Grimsley, my friend Ross Grimsley, he was 2-1 with a 257 earned run average in that World Series. So Ross Grimsley showing up in big moments. 1975 at Fenway Park. Reds edge the Boston Red Sox 4-3. Pete Rose recently passed away. MVP there, the big red machine. Ken Griffey Sr. won the first of their two straight. 75 million people estimated watched Game 7. Wow. Of that World Series. I think the World Series now gets like less than 20 because there's 5 bazillion TV channels and streaming outlets. Back then you had your major networks and go along with that. And then a year ago today, it's hard to believe it's been a year, this happened in M&T Bank Stadium.
So here's Jackson. Pressure coming, going in. So it is caught for the touchdown. Another for Mark Andrews.
I guess he must have been 5 yards behind his defender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Lamar Jackson, 3 touchdown passes. Fox with the call. 2 to Mark Andrews. 1 to Nelson Aguilar. Ravens had 5 sacks. 2 from Kyle Van Noy as they blow out the Lions 38-6. I remember it vividly. I think all of us picked the Lions to win the game.
Yeah.
And the Ravens spanked them. Both teams would make it to their respective championship games. But a year ago today, M&T Bank Stadium, Ravens blow out Detroit 38-6. Speaking of World Series, we're talking about this year's with Ryan Ripken next. Going to the Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. That news from the Nats coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from Lamar and Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, Rashad Bateman, and all the heroes of last night's win. 41-31, Ravens have won 5 in a row. They're cooking right now, everybody.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Hey, kind of an appropriate song. Turn It Up Tuesday, the Sultans of Swing. Dire Straits. Was Babe Ruth called the Salt of Swing? The Salt of Swat, something like that. What we got going on here, Nolan McGraw?
No answer. We'll keep trying.
Since we'll keep it music related, what's the old Genesis song? No reply at all? Hmm. Anybody? Yeah, whatever. Vinny and 81057, the Fed World Series starts Friday. Tracking down Ryan Ripken to preview such a fall classic. Yankees going with Gerrit Cole, who has World Series experience with the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers have not named their starter. And what? They won Sunday, so that gives them, everybody's on proper rest.
Oh, for both teams.
Yeah, so they could pick whoever they want. As we said, Gerrit Cole will be pitching for New York. But World Series that everybody wanted based on market size. Now, Yankee-Dodger fatigue can sit in. That's why Sunday Night Baseball ratings aren't through the roof, because it's always the same teams, usually them or the Cubs or the Red Sox, and people just get sick of hearing that stuff or watching it. But this is for all the marbles, and it's an historic World Series battle. These two teams have a great postseason history going back to a bazillion years ago. But they haven't met in the Fall Classic since 1981, and that was the strike year, and the Dodgers were down 0-2, and they went back to L.A., won 3 in a row, and then they wrapped it up at Yankee Stadium. Dodgers did win the World Series back in 2020, but it was the COVID year, so a lot of people would put the air quotes, but Yankees haven't been in the World Series since 2009 when they beat the Phillies, but still, the other thing to keep an eye on, both teams were the number one seed in their respective leagues.
Yeah.
So you got for the first time in a while. Last year was 2 wild card teams. 5 and 6 seed made it to the World Series. This year it's the number one seed in each league.
Plus, Bob, you got star power. You got the 2 MVPs of both leagues.
Right.
You know, you got Otani, you got Judge, you got Soto, you got Stanton, you got Cole. You got people. You got... People know
Mookie Betts.
Yeah, Mookie. But people know. And like when we had Mike Harmon on, he said
Freddie Freeman.
The Dodgers in L.A., Bob, number one team
in California is the Dodgers in L.A.
And they have been. Well, Harmon's been telling us that for a long time. Now, the Lakers will start getting into the news cycle as they start to get their season unfolded. But the Dodgers have always been the kind of the kings of L.A. And the Angels are, you sit at the little table with the little kids, and UCLA basketball used to be huge, but they're kind of whatever, and the USC sports have fallen off the map. Hockey, it's like they don't even have a hockey team, even though they do. You know,
they have two.
Yeah, but it's like if you talk about it, people are changing the station. So you gotta play the hits, as they say, and right now the Dodgers are the hits. And look, I hate the Yankees. I got no real feeling one way or another for L.A., so I'll be rooting for them. But Nolan McGraw, I mean, the Orioles now, the bar's set. I mean, the Yankees didn't even make the playoffs last year as the Orioles drubbed them by, what, almost 20 games, I think? Mm-hmm. 19 games, I think. This year, the Orioles were chasing but beat them in the head-to-head matchups. Now you understand, it's like you can't half-step. You've got to take it to the next level because the Yankees are four wins away from being world champions, a team that you're chasing just to win your own division. And you know Boston's going to try to level up. Toronto had an absolutely disastrous season. I don't know where Tampa's going to be in this whole mix. They don't even have a stadium to play in right now. But Mike Elias, if we know it, Mike Elias is very much aware of the task at hand this offseason.
No doubt about it. I mean, what was the Yankees' big offseason addition this year? It was Juan Soto. Yep. Who hits the game winner to send him to the World Series in extra innings? Juan Soto. So we can hype up, you know, Giancarlo Stanton all we want, and certainly his outburst here has been a huge reason they're in the World Series, but they made these moves. Soto's done great things for him in the regular season and the postseason. Jazz Chisholm, as much as he annoys me, and I called
him annoying,
the most overrated player in the league for a while, he's getting the job done, coming through with timely hits. It really feels like the collective, whereas in the past it was just Judge and a group of guys.
And they might get Cortez back for the World Series, too. Their problem is their bullpen has been shaky in a big way. Clay Holmes isn't even the closer anymore. Weaver is, and he gave up the home run to Cleveland in the ALCS. And the Dodgers, outside of Jack Flaherty, what's their starting rotation looking like? They're going with openers. I mean, Kershaw's looking great, waving his hat, watching the game from the dugout. Glasnow's out. Walker Buehler pitched four innings, and you would have thought he was Sandy Koufax with that performance there. So they're getting by with smoke and mirrors from a pitching standpoint themselves.
Well, that's kind of postseason baseball. As weird as it is and a little, you know, is it the most fun to watch a bullpen game in the playoffs? Maybe not. But when you get the job done, it's hard to argue with the results. So we talk about it all the time. When you get to the trade deadline in season, what are teams looking for? Mostly pitching help. Starters, of course, but there's this premium placed on relievers. And you're seeing exactly why. Because when you get to the playoffs, you get to these best of seven series, you've seen it. The managers are comfortable saying, hey, we're going to go with a bullpen game here, right, even though we've got built-in rest days.
In the postseason, a quality starts five innings.
Mm-hmm.
What, they even have a term for it now, bullpenning. You want to do some bullpenning later, you know what I'm saying?
What happened to the opener? I like the opener. I just got used to the opener, and now we're on the bullpen.
And the sad part is, for us Oriole fans, the best starting pitcher performance in the entire playoffs was Corbin Burns, and he lost! He went eight innings because they couldn't score any runs for him. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We have time to squeeze a call in before we get to the funhouse.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go to, where are we at here? Rick in East Baltimore. Rick, thanks for holding your own. Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw. I guess he's not ready to bullpen. No bullpenning. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. He's always ready. Joe, next man up.
I know. Hey, be glad we're watching the maturation and the evolution of our quarterback from where he came from. I want to thank his mother for taking a stand that my son ain't going to play receiver. Thanks, Louisville, for taking him. Thanks for Ozzie for coming back up in the draft and picking a guy that wasn't nobody going to pick in the first round. Are they all kicking themselves in the ass right now? I don't know. But all I got to say is, hey, Q, I didn't know that every pass Lamar threw over the years, all his receivers were wide open.
I mean, was that the dumbest comment of all time? I mean, come on. And hey, we were talking off the air, Joe. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It would be like me calling a New York radio station saying that Aaron Judge sucks and he's a crybaby and we kicked your ass 8 out of 13 times. It'd be like, When's the last time you've been in the World Series? 1983. Who's in the World Series this year? How many runs you? I would get. Stop. Just stop. Just stop. Hey, Bob, Lamar Jackson is the best player in football right now.
Bob, you're filling up my time. Bob.
Oh, so my bad. Sorry.
But here we go. But all I want to say is that hey, quick draw. Look this up. Who was the last MVP of the league, and they also were the MVP of the Super Bowl? I can't remember.
Pat Mahomes.
I don't know about.
Like, huh? 2 years ago, Pat Mahomes.
Ah, I knew it. He was, and other than that, whoever did it besides him.
Steve Young did it in 94.
There you go. That's how long ago. So it's far.
It may have happened before. I just know that he did it.
Right. But anyway, I'm saying this year, if the Ravens can make it to the playoffs, make it to the Super Bowl, Lamar will be the next one. And then here's the last thing I'm going to say. We had Jonathan Ogden. We had Ray Lewis. After that, I'm going to say Lamar Jackson may be the best that they ever had. See you later, fellas.
All right, Joe, coming in strong. Oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes' receivers were 10 yards more open than the defenders when he won the Super Bowl and league MVP. And Young did it in 94. Also won it in 92, but lost in the championship game to those pesky Cowboys.
Some others, Kurt Warner, Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw apparently all did it. Montana, of course.
Joe Montana.
Elite company there.
Yeah.
Yes, extremely.
Lamar, great season, but even he, let's stress this, even he says, this is all great. We got bigger fish to fry. He mentioned February as the month he needs to perform. We'll wait to see. Still got to take care of business regular season. And then you get to the postseason. Then, I don't need to tell you anything. You already know. Sharing his educated opinion of what happened last night. So as we look back here, no angst, I wouldn't think, by the offense. Clicking on all cylinders that would maybe put them in line to be one of the best offenses we've seen in a long, long time. But defensively, though, we got to keep it real. Yeah, as Vinny said, D-line sucked in the secondary. They did give up 480 yards.
I mean, when you're watching and it's 34-10, I'm saying, should I go to bed? Let me watch a little bit. You know, and then Lamar throws it backwards, and then they go score. Then the onside kick, then they score again. I go, no, this ain't going to happen.
Right. It was one of those scores where you're thinking, all right, I've seen the Ravens defense in recent years, what they're capable of doing in terms of blowing a lead, but we're almost reaching a territory where it's impossible to stage a comeback. You just simply don't have enough time. So it's kind of sad that we have to root for that point in the game to get reached because you don't actually trust the defense to get the stop in the first place, but you'll focus on the positive. And last night, we as fans to another Jackson 5, a 5-touchdown performance for Lamar Jackson. That's now the 5th time in his career he's done that. If you were wondering, more such games for Lamar than Brett Favre, Warren Moon, Jim Kelly, Joe Montana, is also tied with Aaron Rodgers, who's had a career that's twice as long as Lamar's for most 5-touchdown passing games. Contemporary-wise, Pat Mahomes has 6. That's the only guy doing it right now. And all-time, Drew Brees with 11. That's
what?
Insane. 11 games with 5 touchdown passes.
Damn.
Brady with 9.
Huh. I can see that. Well, then again, his receiving core wasn't usually considered one of the best in the NFL. He had that year with Randy Moss where I think we could have thrown a ball up. And
then he had the tight ends. Gronk could always get a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah, but Brady, speaks to his greatness. But Drew Brees, 11, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for him.
Hey, a lot of Hall of Famers on this list here.
Most of the guys are either in it or are going to be in it
right.
That you talked about. So, said it earlier, and I'm not telling you how to think, but you're watching brilliance in real time. Again, if you're Nolan's age, 30, Landlin, 30 years from now, you're going to be like, hey, Dad, what was Patrick, or your grandkids even, what was Lamar Jackson like? He's brilliant. I watch him, and it'd be like talking about Johnny Unitas in his prime. You know what I mean?
Well, pull up a chair, kid. Let me tell you how all his receivers were 5 yards.
Five yards beyond the others. See, he had an advantage there.
But to that point that Q made, and I know we keep burying it, and rightfully so, but isn't that a testament to Lamar's threat that he presents as a quarterback? Vinny keeps mentioning it, the play action, right? Guys are so wide open because of the whole operation, and Lamar in particular are such a big threat. You can't fixate on one thing and take it away anymore.
The play action pass, Derrick Henry has changed their pass game. I mean, just because when you're, if you're a defensive coordinator, say, okay, the first thing, what do we got to take away what they do best. We got to take away the run game. All right, we got to stop the run. How do we stop the run? We got to put additional people in the box to be able to stop the run. Okay, then what do they do after that? Then, you know, the linebackers are coming up, leaves the hole. That's why guys are wide open. And I thought what was pretty cool watching last night, Bob, was they hand it to Henry. All right, then the next play, Henry goes out, and they bring in Justice Hill. They want to see what the what is Bowles going to do to our formations. That's what Todd was finding out in that first series.
It's 88-81-057 The Fan Funhouse, yes or no?
We got Steve and Edgewater on hold. I told Steve we'd get him here.
Okay,
let's do it.
There you go. Proper communication means Steve and Edgewater is on the phone. Steve, thanks for holding. What's up, dude?
Hey, Bob. I went to Laurel High. I've talked to you before. I know a lot of your friends.
Margaret Edmondson. That's right.
There you go. Just a couple of questions. And, of course, there's no I in Q. And I'm surprised he doesn't have two. You know, I'm surprised he doesn't have two football teams since he's a, you know, conveniently a Minnesota Twins and Yankees, you know, at the same time. But what do you think about the chance of picking up Budabaker or some DB, somebody back there to help, some playmaker? And I just got one other question, and you guys covered it, I'm sure, in the first week. Why was Spagnuolo allowed to call a timeout when only the head coach can call a timeout?
Oh, because he's with the Chiefs.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And the other thing, my gut tells me that they'll do something. They'll bring in somebody. I don't know what position. Defensively. Nothing offensively. Bring in something defensively. I mean, they've already brought in a new advisor. You know, so I think they'll bring in a player. I don't know if it's a pass rusher. I don't know if it's a safety or a DB. I just think that they'll go make a move to do something because they got two good offense.
And I did see that Jamal Adams has gone from Tennessee, but didn't the Ravens bring him in the offseason for a visit?
And Denard Wilson's the coordinator down there, Bob, and that's just a phone call. Like, do we want to look at this guy? No. You know,
sadly, injuries sapped his immense skill.
Oh, Bob, I got a text. You know who's listening to us today?
Who's that?
Dave LaBrosi.
How about that? It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nets. Top of the hour. Then we're going to count that dough by or sell. Vinny's Dirty Dozen, who are the 12 best teams in the National Football League. 7 weeks are done. I'm guessing the Ravens are in there somewhere. Kansas City's undefeated, but are they the best team?